morning. How you doing? Welcome back to the Bernie Show. Pleasure to be here with you again. Thank you all for the support. The first day went great, and we'll make it better and better and better as we go along. Cardinals had a nice win last night over Tampa Bay, but let's talk about another matter. Derek Gould, hosting his weekly check at STL Today, was asked about Paul Goldschmidt's future with the Cardinals. It's a good question. It's on a lot of minds of Cardinals fans. I get a lot of questions about it myself. The door is open. The Cardinals, according to Gould, will, talk with Goldschmidt, see what he wants to do. Goldschmidt obviously has a say in the matter. I don't think that should make too much over the fact they're going to talk. Of course they're going to talk. What this comes down to, in my opinion, all due respect, is whether it makes sense to bring Goldie back. Now listen, it's obviously nothing personal. I have great respect for him. I admire him. He is one of the most respected players in the game. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown one day. He's well-liked by his teammates. He's helpful to his teammates. He's a total pro. There's a lot to love about Paul Goldschmidt, the person and the player. But you have to take that sentiment out of it. The Cardinals have gotten into trouble in the past by perhaps staying with the player too long. We all know about Adam Wainwright's final season, but in defense of the Cardinals, he pitched well the year before. So it's not like they were crazy to bring him back. It's not like his next to last season here, he was an awful pitcher. There were some signs of decline, but that's neither here nor there. The point is they did bring Waino back for a final year, and it really did not go well. You know, thankfully, he got his 200th win on his final start, but it was just – it was a drag. It really was. Anyway, the Cardinals have a tendency, during this management ownership regime, they get caught up in nostalgia. They have strong feelings about players who have been with them. I like that in a way because that's one of the things that makes Cardinals so traditional and in a way that separates them from a lot of teams. They love their heritage. They're proud of it, and they want the tradition to continue, things like that. However, again, you got to be pragmatic about this. This offense has struggled for the second year in a row. It is very much challenged. I mean, we've talked about this a bunch. I mean, they ranked 14th out of the 15 teams in the National League in terms of runs per game. So I don't know that bringing Goldie back, in fact, I don't need to like tap dance around this. I don't think it's a good idea to bring him back because, and you're going to have to forgive me because I got to go to my notes. He'll be 37 years old in a couple of weeks. He's having the worst full season of his major league career. And there has been a gradual decline. It's not as if this suddenly happened. You know, pardon the numbers, because I don't know that numbers are good for video. But in terms of OPS plus, 100 is average. You know, in 2022, he was 77% above the league average offensively. Last year, that fell to 20% above the league average offensively, and this year he is 13% below. So he's gone from 77% above to 20% above to now 13% below. Aging curve, anybody? Seriously, that's what this is all about. And while Goldschmidt still hits the ball as hard as ever, that's kind of the weird thing about this because it's not like he's overmatched. He does pretty good slugging wise against four seam fastballs. But yet his numbers are, my goodness. I don't even know what to say because I don't want to be disrespectful, but the numbers speak for themselves. All right, if the season ended today, this would be the fewest home runs he's ever had in a full season, the fewest RBIs he's ever had in a full season, the lowest batting average in a full season, lowest on base percentage in a full season, lowest slugging percentage in a full season, lowest OPS and lowest OPS plus in a full season. This would be his lowest overall wins above replacement total. It would be his worst by far season in terms of offensive wins above replacement. And he's also, you know, pardon my fancy pants stat, but there's a one that I like to look at, wins above average. And he's actually in the negative column this year. So enough with the numbers about that terms, you know, that kind of stuff. His strikeout rate is up. His walk rate, which was a strength of his walk rate is way down. That's another warning sign. Listen, when you have a player that is in a three-year pattern of decline, and he's going to turn a year older officially in a few weeks, and you would be bringing him back at age 37, and you would also be bringing him back where if he plays for the Cardinals next year, at some point during the season, he'll turn 38. Now, this aging curve isn't going to blow up and then he'll start fresh and it'll be 2015 all over again. It doesn't work that way. We've seen it a bunch of times. When a player starts to go into that decline phase, there's no stopping the clock. There's no turning back. There's no big, huge reversal. And Goldie is really in a tough spot in terms of dealing with an age-related recline and trying to work his way through it. But I'm going to mention it again. He hits the ball hard. That's one thing I'll say about him, and we should acknowledge that. But the thing about Goldie that has baffled me this season is that he looks at a lot of strikes. He looks at a lot of called strikes. He's up there high on the list of the players, the hitters in Major League Baseball who take called strikes. And when he swings, okay, when he swings, we're looking at Goldschmidt having the highest chase rate of his career. In other words, he's chasing pitches out of the strike zone more frequently than he ever has. So let's talk about that combination. He looks at too many strikes. He looks at a lot of strikes right down the heart of the plate. Yet he is chasing pitches out of the strike zone more than he has in the past. That's not a good competition. So the plate discipline part is a big, big issue. Could he fix the plate discipline? The plate discipline part? Well, yeah, he could. But you never know what's in a hitter's mind. You know, they start to age. Their numbers go down. They feel the pressure. They feel like they're letting their team down, and then maybe it makes them less confident, and maybe they're being jumpy. They want to jump at pitches. But Goldie doesn't jump at pitches that are thrown right down the plate. And the other thing he does, I was checking this out today, he ranks in the top three, as in worst, frankly. He's one of the two or three worst hitters in baseball in terms of getting into 0-2 counts and 1-2 counts. So he's always falling behind. Not always, I'm sorry. He's frequently falling behind in the counts. And I got to look at my sheet again. What does this mean? Well, this is a situation where we're looking at the percentage of times when he's at bat, when a pitch is thrown, that he's ahead in the count. It's way, way down. So he is giving the pitchers an advantage way too often. And I think that sort of dictates what happens during the at-bat. During his career, like most hitters, he's been much better when ahead in the count. I was looking at some numbers about what he does when he's behind in the count. Again, I've mentioned too many numbers in this one. I don't want to go there again. But as you can imagine, when he's chasing, right, the numbers are awful. They're just awful. There was a time in his career, earlier in his career, when he would chase pitches out of the zone and actually do some damage. That's not happening anymore. And you look at him when he's at such a terrible disadvantage in the strike zone, or excuse me, the ball strike count. That's one of the reasons why his strikeout rate is way, way up and his walk rate is way, way down. Because one of the biggest problems with Goldie, unfortunately, he doesn't walk the way he used to. And you combine that with a low batting average, that's why he's got such an awful on-base percentage. He used to be pretty much an on-base machine, and those days appear to be gone. I guess he could make corrections, but again, I don't believe in trying to do the happy talk thing. Oh, he'll be fine. Listen, come on, man. We gotta live in reality, right? The Cardinals are very challenged offensively with him in the lineup, and they have other problems and other hitters that are a disappointment in that they do not reach their potential. We could talk about Newt Barr. We could talk about Gorman. We could talk about Jordan Walker. We could talk about guys who have been here in the past. And I don't think that bringing a 37-year-old player back in 2025 is going to be the answer to solving your offensive woes, because once again, he is in a clear and unmistakable 3-year decline, each season worse than the last. And that's a tough thing to deal with, but that's sports, man. That's just the way it works. You don't get younger, you get older. And when you get older, a lot of players in whatever sport is, Tom Brady being one, I mean, you can sort of outlast the aging curve. You can win the battle for a while, but eventually it gets you. But I don't see I really do not see what the benefit would be to bringing him back. Is he a good leader? I think he is. But he also kind of stays quiet. He's not a rah-rah guy. He's not proactive in sort of getting in people's faces, things like that. I think the Cardinals have younger leadership that's emerging. You know, guys are going to take more of a role in that. So I think sometimes we in the media and we as fans put way too much on the whole, well, he's a leader. All right, he's a leader. Matt Carpenter's on the bench this year. He's doing okay. He is a leader because we've seen how he turned Alec Burleson with his advice. Alec Burleson became a much more damaging, dangerous hitter. So I think the whole leadership thing gets overstated. And the thing of it is, you can't use that as your basis for bringing back a declining player who, frankly, we know this, is one of the major reasons why your offense is so mediocre, so below average, and so so futile most of the time this year, or too many times anyway. So I'm going to have to vote no on this. You say, well, what do they do for first base? Burleson can play first base. You can always go outside and find someone to play first base. There are options galore. Finding a first baseman is not all that difficult. So I'm going to have to vote no on this idea. And it's nothing personal, but you just got to be smart about these things. That'll do it for today. Thank you. Please subscribe. Tell your friends, your family, your fellow sports fans to subscribe in the Bernie Show. The information's down there on the banner, the scroll line down at the bottom of the screen about how you can follow me on social media. We'll be back tomorrow with another Bernie Show here on YouTube. Thank you very much.